Kansas City is home to a rich brewing history dating back to the 1880s when Ferdheim and George Muehlbach and the marks they made can still be seen today throughout the city. Prohibition took its toll on the breweries in KC, but in 1989, Boulevard Brewing Company founder John McDonald rekindled that brewing tradition when he brewed and sold his first batch of pale ale. More than 30 years later, the spirit of Kansas City can-do attitude is in everything Boulevard does. From creating Tank 7, an award-winning American Saison, to brewing Space Camper Cosmic IPA, an exhilarating exploration into the universe of hops, to developing one of the nation's largest barrel aging programs, and even more recently with the introduction of Quirk Hard Seltzers, real fruit, real fun. At the heart of Boulevard Brewing Company lies the intersection of traditional brewing and modern technology. Visit the brewery and take a tour for free to sip and see 32 years of brewing experience and maybe catch a glimpse of the future to where that Kansas City spirit of innovation will lead. Boulevard Brewing Company, Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans, presented by Boulevard Brewing Company. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is May 3rd, and this might be the most hungover I've ever been for a episode here.
Really?
It's up there.
Even worse than Mondays?
Mondays after the Chiefs
games? Mondays after Chiefs games.
Yeah, that's just one day of drinking.
Yeah.
Not three.
Not three. Bachelor party. Voices are gone. Morale currently low. Just the Monday after a bachelor party, Monday after a vacation, where the only objective is to have as much fun as possible in as short amount as time as possible. Like that's literally the only job anyone has on a bachelor party. It's to like make sure no one dies, make sure no one gets arrested.
And
just try to have as much fun as possible in the short amount of time that you have together. So when you operate like that for a weekend, you come back on Monday, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
I mean, mission accomplished, though. As much fun as possible squeezed in. Should we spend this time telling stories that people would have had to be there to find funny?
I mean, if you're coming to the wedding, then no need, because I'll just be telling stories the entire time in the best man speech. That's just the plan. But I don't think we need to do that. I don't think we need to recap. I'm excited that Kansas City's getting a tin roof, because I probably paid for the entire the new tin roof in Kansas City. Like, I might as well have paid for that entire thing, because we spent a lot of time there, and our group spent a lot of money at Tin Roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we covered their mortgage this year for 2022. They're good.
Yeah, they're good. Should be okay.
We covered their operational costs for the rest of the year. Just helping businesses. What we do.
That's what we do. That's what we do. So I'm really excited that Westport's getting a tin roof, because it was a blast. We had a ton of fun there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Memphis is great. I'd never been there before. I think everyone
underrated city.
Everyone really liked it. I think it has a lot of that like authentic Southern charm that maybe the Nashvilles and Austins and others have lost because they've gotten too big or too popular. But great spot. Loved Memphis. Had a blast there. The music festival was fun. I mean, our group of 17 guys, we brought the party everywhere we went. The music festival almost hired us
promoters.
Like Monster Energy, they need to hire us.
We've got to be on their social media somewhere. I don't know where, but we've got to be somewhere on their page. And so we'll maybe see a check from that.
Maybe
get some more Monster, even though my body does not need any more Monster Energy in it.
No, probably
because of
not.
How much I put Monster Energy drinks in my body on Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is terrible. It is disgusting. I don't know why I drank it. It was free. But
We brought the party. So I think that was one of the highlights. And then, everything else, it was a blast. I loved it.
Part of me thinks I would have felt better if I would have had alcohol in the Monster Energy drink. Like, I think that's how bad it is for you.
Yeah, probably.
That you're like, maybe I should add alcohol to this and it would get healthier.
It'd be better for me. Yeah.
Because it's so nasty.
But I love everything about a bachelor party. The the conversation in the group chats that is still going on now that everyone has left, like you become such good friends for that weekend and you start group chats, you start Snapchat groups, and then you just want to keep them going for a little bit. I think there's a lot of like shared misery because everyone is feeling like ass today. And so so the group chat is still going with just people sharing screenshots of their credit card statement that just has tin roof over and over again. And then sharing like them back at work in the Snapchat.
In the real world.
Yeah, in the real world. And so I love that part of it. Of a bachelor party, it's like the week after when there's still buzz and you still have that camaraderie and you're still trying to get back into the swing of things. That's always a blast. I mean,
like,
the drive.
It's like, how many times can I send the GIF of the monkey on oxygen? Because I want to send it probably every day this week. I'm going to send it.
I know. And I mean, that's one of my favorite things too. Like, so we all drove to Memphis. It's about a 7-hour drive. There's no direct flights before you ask, but,
yeah, let's get on that KCI Memphis.
Yeah.
Let's get a train going between the two
and
let's get a good flight system.
So the drive home, everyone is on their deathbeds, monkey on oxygen meme. And so the drive home, everyone is texting and sending snaps of people puking and on the side of the road, sending snaps of people sleeping in the car where they look like they're dying, like they're close to death because of how bad they feel. So that's always a blast. Everything about it was great. I love bachelor parties. It's so much fun. The Mondays after are rough. But again, we have group chats. Snap groups to have and share in that camaraderie and misery together. So wouldn't trade it for anything.
Nice. It's a nice support group on Monday.
Exactly.
Everybody's going through it, getting through it together. So well done to you, the best man, on planning a great weekend.
Well done to everyone, all the guys for just being dudes. I don't know if there was a phrase.
A phrase?
Yeah. Was there one? Guys being dudes?
I don't think
I
so.
I said that a lot.
I mean, I've got Walking in Memphis.
Yeah.
Just stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm. I sing that a lot. But yeah, I don't know. Because yeah, there wasn't really a key phrase that everyone just kept repeating over and over again until we drove it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Fellas, if we missed anything, let us know.
Yeah, send us the phrase. All right. Got to watch the draft night one.
With the fellas,
which was a ton of fun. I'm a bit of a savant. I think I picked 8 out of the first 13
That was
picks
wild.
Correctly.
That was wild.
Team and person. I got 8 out of 13 right to start off.
It was insane.
The draft. Yeah. I was very smart. Obviously, I did my work, did my research, grinded tape. But I think the Chiefs really did grind a lot of tape from what I've been reading, because I think some of the guys that we drafted maybe don't have as much maybe like athleticism or aren't like freak athletes. Maybe I'll reference like Trent Duffy.
Mick Duffy.
But more of when you watch him on film, that's where he stands out. Sky Moore doesn't have the insane 40-timer vertical. But you watch him on film, and it takes forever to find a drop. He runs like so. I feel like we drafted some guys that we grinded tape on, who can come in and hopefully make an impact sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, again, we talked about this last week when we kind of previewed the draft. But I don't dive into drafts and mock drafts and prospects like a lot of people enjoy doing. I enjoy the draft, and it was way more fun watching the draft with a group of people as opposed to watching the draft on your own.
2023 is going to be awesome.
But everyone out there smarter than me really liked it. The people who that's all they do.
Sorry, I think I know that person out there.
Come on, quit looking over my shoulder. all they do is live for the draft and scout for the draft. Like, they really liked our draft. Like, it seems like everyone slipped to us, and like we got guys at a lot of value. I do like the idea of drafting expensive players early on so that we can get players at expensive positions.
Cornerback, defensive end,
wide receiver, like literally the three most expensive positions were our first three draft picks, other than quarterback, QB, actually, honestly. But But I like that idea. I think you can get a lot of value out of the draft by getting those premium positions early on. So, and everyone really likes Trent McDuffie, George Karlofsky, Sky Moore, Leo Chanel. I think those are four people that we can be like legitimately excited about playing a lot and starting for the Chiefs next season. So now that the draft is over, I think I said this before, but like I straight up mute on Twitter, like mock draft, like it gets overdone and it's too much. But now that the draft is over and we have our guys, now I'll go back
and read
all about them, read the articles, and see what everyone has to say
get
about them.
Way then too
I'll
excited.
Okay, oh, way too
get
excited.
Way too excited. I'm already too excited about Darian Kennard, who like PFF is just in love with. Who he's like one of the only. I don't know. He has insanely graded well by them, and you're like, oh, fifth round pick 145, and this guy could be a starting right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like already getting excited, especially after what Trey Smith did last year, coming out of I think the sixth round last year. So could be another late round steal who is starting.
Yeah,
day one. So.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'm already way too excited.
I will get way too excited about all these
thinking
guys.
That a fifth round pick. Yeah, he's going to start.
Who's
yeah.
the?
I already think that.
Who's the tight end we drafted last year?
Noah Gray.
Yeah, Noah Gray. That's how I was about Noah Gray. I was like, Noah Gray, he's going to revolutionize this offense. Wait till you see how involved Noah Gray gets in this offense with Patrick Mahomes throwing to him. And I think what do you have, like four catches this year?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to recreate that.
You're gonna recreate it with maybe is it Justin Ross, the undrafted free agent just got,
who
would have been a first round pick if he came out after his freshman year.
Love that, mm-hmm. George Karlofsky, I can talk myself into him, you know, being a 12 sack
wrecking
guy.
Games.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, excited to get way too excited about these prospects, and then watch all the film now that I have 10 players to watch as opposed to, you know, 300.
Mm-hmm. Now that we know the guys, it's easier to then now target, learn some more about them. Anything else you're excited about Chiefs draft wise?
No, missing something?
No, okay. I was just wondering.
No.
Because I was going to start talking about the Royals next.
Okay, yeah,
go for it. Watch Zach Greinke today, the afternoon game against the Cardinals, and he lost another game, 1-0.
Mm.
He's done that twice already this year, and it's May 2nd.
Yeah.
I think, what's it? 5 starts, 6 runs he's gotten. So welcome to 2009 all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's got to be fun for him. Like, oh, this is why I left. It's been a while. Now I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Royals are frustrating. Michael A. Taylor made one of the best catches I've seen.
It could end up being the catch of the year. I don't know if anybody
will
top.
Very, very long time. Mm-hmm. That was one of the best catches I've ever seen. Just the I mean, he covered so much ground. The speed that he was running when he got to the wall and then robbed a home run that was over the fence. That was one of the most amazing catches I've ever seen. So that was really cool. The Royals, I mean, the wind is completely out of the sails. Bring everyone up, demote everyone who sucks, get Carlos Santana off the team immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just plan for the future. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like we're playing for the future.
Yeah.
We should be.
Yeah. I'm nearing, like, are we going to be good at any point in the next 5 years? Like, I'm having that conversation in my head.
Yeah.
So that's very much not good. And it's very, very, I mean, the boys are down bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is getting very, very difficult to remain positive about the Royals because they've lost 9 out of 11. They are basically last in almost every single offensive stat. Our young players are not developing. Our young pitchers are not developing. It's gloom.
I mean,
it's
really, gloom. 2017 was the last year we had that core intact. And you would think, okay, now here we are, 19, 20, 21, 4 seasons. And this team is not ready to compete.
No.
So it shouldn't take the other side of a half a decade to get back into the playoffs. Like that, a rebuild should not take that long if you're a better run organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the most frustrating
Kevin,
part.
Don't forget, we take care of our players. We're good people.
That's true.
We just can't win freaking baseball games.
But did you also, I don't know if the game was maybe on the Apple Plus one of the Yankees games.
Oh, really?
But they had George Brett on as a guest, or maybe George Brett was with the Yankees crew. I'm not sure because I was not on this planet maybe watching that game, but George Brett was telling a story about when he became the hitting coach in 2013 and how he was just like, yeah, no one really listened to me.
I think that was like reported. Like everyone knew that no one was, and like George Brett was a fake hitting coach.
Yeah, this was dumb. And he's just like, all right, I'm out. This isn't really working.
Yeah.
That was a pretty funny story.
Maybe we'll do that again.
Sure.
It kind of worked that kind time. Yeah. So, yeah, we got to do something, but it's not good. It's not good at all. I mean, 21 games into the season now, 22.
Mm-hmm.
It's ugly. It's not good. So maybe we should have Mellinger back on and see how
We could have Alec back on too.
How great of an organization the Royals are, and you know, how we take care of our people. Mm-hmm. We do the right thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Win.
Yeah. All I want to do is win.
Let's win. So that's frustrating. But it's just May. So there's a lot of baseball left to be played.
It is May. May 2nd.
There's a lot of baseball left to be played
Royals
still.
Excel in May and June mm-hmm. in particular.
And it's tough because here we are at this rough stretch, getting swept by the Yankees. We lose to the Cardinals yesterday, and now here come the Cardinals in town.
Into Kansas City.
Here come all the Cardinals fans that are going to fill up the stadium, which mm-hmm. we know. And I don't know if you saw this, Mayor Q. He's getting advertisements to go watch the Cardinals on his internet browser.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Kansas City Star has ads that say, come see the Cardinals
mm-hmm.
at Kauffman.
At Kauffman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Gross.
So there's that too.
Oh, all right. Next segment.
Okay. Sorry. I was just thinking about that. Yeah. That's a lot.
Bummer.
It's a big bummer. It's a big bummer. All right. Let's move into some openings. Let's talk about some good stuff coming to Kansas City. First one we want to talk about is a place called Spicy One is opening up. It's like Indonesian food, Southeast Asian food.
That's right. Kansas City's first Indonesian restaurant.
I'm a big fan of Indonesia, home of the
more sheep than people stat, because I always hear that.
And orangutans, too.
Oh,
they run the rainforest there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I didn't know they mostly live by themselves for the most part. It's easier to scavenge for food.
Orangutans?
Running solo, yeah. They hang out pretty solo.
All right.
And then besides
Indonesian people.
No, orangutans. And then besides humans, orangutans, I think, are like the longest, or their kids stay with the parents for the longest amount of time.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's some orangutan facts for you. All right. I love orangutans.
Well, the Spicy One is Kansas City's first Indonesian restaurant. I mean, so official that they actually got an official visit from...
The UPS guy is looking at me. I'm just saying, I don't know, dude. I don't work here.
Yeah. Come on, just leave.
He's making eye contact with me.
No, I'm talking to
him. I can't help but make eyes with him.
I'm talking to the UPS guy. He needs to realize what's happening here. Yeah, we're back in our producer Tucker Franklin's out of town, so we're back in the Plex pod today. So yeah, Kevin is very distracted by everything happening behind me. So Spicy One. It's on 119th and in between Lamar and Metcalf, like across from the Sprint campus, in that Cheesecake Factory strip mall thing.
That's a little easier to get to than if you get all the way to Metcalf and Blue Valley Parkway, which is tough.
Good Lord. But yes, a lot of times I just go to that intersection and be like, I don't know where I don't know exactly where the Golf Galaxy is, but I know it's out here somewhere, so I'm just going to just kind of wander around mm-hmm. until I'm in the right turn lane,
and you're
the correct
like,
turn lane, and I found it.
You're Tim Robbins in the car, like, I don't know what any of this shit does.
I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm terrified. So this is, again, it's opening, yeah, kind of back there in that strip mall. It is official. They had an official visit from the Indonesian consulate at the end of April. There's not a lot of Indonesian restaurants in the United States, and this is the first one in Kansas City, so that's cool. The dish that they are most proud of and kind of their this family's dish is it's called Rendang Spicy Beef, which is slow-cooked beef in coconut milk with spices and chilies. And then they have a Martabak Telur, which is a stuffed pancake that's popular street food in Indonesia. So I was reading like Indonesia has like thousands of different ethnic groups and different types of people. So like nailing down one type of Indonesian food is difficult. So that's what this is. Their thing is the rendang beef and the martabak telur. And so, yeah, looking forward to possibly trying that out.
Yeah, I love, I've become a big fan of anything kind of cooked in that, in coconut milk. Oh, I love the flavor.
Oh, yeah.
I love that flavor.
But sometimes just sub it for just heavy cream and it's just as good. It's not as healthy.
Oh, yeah. I like coconut milk because of that kind of just that subtle coconut flavor. I'm not like someone who likes coconut candy or anything like that, but that subtle flavor when you cook it and add some heat to it, I love. All right. Also opening up this week, we have, coming back is Sauced.
Sauced is back.
Just, I would call it a food truck. I don't think it really is that mobile, but it's a food truck right behind Lead Bank in the Crossroads. It's got outdoor seating. Is there a roastery right there too? So there's drinks to be had, but smash burgers, chicken sandwiches, really good food.
Yeah, we tried this. We tried this last year. We both went together for what did we try this week at Sauced. Delicious smash burgers, fried chicken sandwiches, all mobile, easy to get in, easy to get out. So yeah, love Sauced. Glad it's back because it's an outdoor thing. It is just around for the summer or warmer months. So yeah.
Yeah, and Chef Juwan was on, what's that show with Gordon Ramsay? America's Top Chef or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And he competed on that. And so, yeah, excited to have Sauced back.
If I were to search like Gordon Ramsay TV show, I mean, he's probably got like six different TV shows or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never really watched him on TV, just YouTube. All right. Also, I like this concept that we've got for the summer as well. April to October, I think. The last Wednesday of every month is going to be Westport Wednesdays.
Westport Wednesdays.
We got a bunch of specials from restaurants coming on the same day.
Yeah, so the last Wednesday of every month is now going to be called Westport Wednesday. So every restaurant and bar is going to have some sort of drink specials. There's some definite good ones. Let's see, Atomic Cowboy, $6 for a two-topping pizza with a draft beer.
Yes.
That's a good deal.
I mean, some will just have like 50% off food, off-key, 40% off rooms.
Whoa.
Go karaoke on a Wednesday night.
Do that with your office, work team. With your team.
Yeah. So this would be a great happy hour, actually, if you were setting up a after-work happy hour. Just go down to Westport and bounce around.
Yeah. Providence Pizza has dollar carafe wine.
Hell yeah.
So a carafe of house wine for a dollar with the purchase of a large pizza from Providence Pizza. Tin Roof, not there yet. But I didn't see any drink specials like that at the Memphis Tin Roof. But everyone's going to have a drink special. I think it's just a good way for Westport to try to get some of that midweek business and
I'm always rooting for Westport. And Meat Bingo, Kelly's back.
Obviously.
At that Wednesday.
On Wednesdays?
Well, yeah, it'll be part of the Westport Westport Wednesdays. All right. Also, we've got some closings this week. The first one is Komatsu Ramen, shutting the doors.
Yeah, Komatsu Ramen is... is a place that has been open this entire time, but it's impossible to know. So this is in Westport on Broadway, like on Broadway, down the street from the old, the corner restaurant in that area, in between Westport Road and 39th Street. But the windows are so tinted, it never, ever looked open. The sign is small and weird. There was like spray paint on the side of the building. It never looked like it was open.
Is it by Jimmy John's?
On the other side of the street.
Okay.
It's all on the east side of Broadway in between Westport Road and 39th Street. But it never looked open. I went there once during like peak COVID and got some ramen for carryout. So it was a ramen place. And I was like, wait, I just ordered this on one of the apps. Like, it doesn't even look open. I'm going to walk in here and it's going to be a fake restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't believe it lasted this long because honestly, I think most people thought it was just closed this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
The tinted windows, the poor sign, the lack of like landscaping or anything going on out front. It does not look like a functioning restaurant, but I guess it closed like yesterday or today or something, and it will be done. So no more Komatsu ramen. The ramen was pretty good, and it seemed like more authentic than some of the other ramen places that I'd tried, but yeah, I just, you never knew it was open.
All right. Also closing is Red Snapper, which I feel like I've never been there, but I always hear about it. Where is it?
Or I think you just always drive by it.
I always drive by it. Is that in Ward Parkway?
Yeah, it's on Ward Parkway. Like
at very prominent signage.
FedEx and like not in the shopping center mall. But just north of that a little bit, like 83rd and Ward Parkway.
There was a Mediterranean restaurant next door also.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So Red Snapper is
around.
Yeah, I think it's like Asian cuisine, and they were known for their deep-fried Red Snapper. It's been open since 2003. It temporarily shut down in October, but now they're permanently calling it quits. A new ramen spot is apparently going in there. So we lost Komatsu Ramen. A new ramen spot supposedly going in the Red Snapper on Ward Parkway. So, yeah, we'll see. There's not much information out yet about what is going to go in there. But, yeah, Red Snapper had been sued by their landlords for back late. Or for back rent and late fees and other charges. So they seem to be struggling. But this is one of those places that I drove by all the time. I always said I was going to go. I always said I was going to try it because I've been driving by it for 20 years almost, and I've never gone in.
Never have.
So I don't know why that is, but I just never did. So hopefully I'll be interested in seeing like what this ramen spot brings.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move into a little what we tried this week. This week, if I've eaten in this restaurant, maybe it was too long ago to even remember, but I tried the Salty Iguana in Corinth. Have you been recently?
Yeah, I've been.
The lizard people, the iguana people.
Oh yeah,
is weird.
It is weird. Yeah,
it weirds me out.
Okay,
and I don't like it.
Okay,
like it is the Illuminati hiding in broad daylight.
Oh,
the
yeah, lizard good point. People. Lizard people. Yeah.
Yes, hiding in broad daylight as KU basketball players and in like Renaissance paintings. But so that kind of creeped me out a little bit. But haven't been for a while. I thought I would have liked it more, but. Wasn't that big of a fan. Didn't have the best.
Is it because Bill Self does commercials for him?
Dining experience, yeah. The one in Corinth, I'm just like, oh, man. Maybe they're just focusing way more on to-go because there was a lot of to-go orders coming in and out.
Yeah.
But the inside, yeah, just kind of dirty, messy, like chips on the ground everywhere.
I believe that
appealing.
Yeah,
to dine in.
The last time I had it was again. It was like peak COVID, mm-hmm. and so it was like summer of 2020, and people were trying to do, you know, as much local restaurant eating as possible, and ordering takeout. So I got it to go. So I didn't eat it surrounded by mm-hmm. iguana people and chips all over the floor and everything yeah. like that. I just ate it in the comfort of my own home, and I thought it was very good.
Okay,
like I was. It is like a ultimate cheap meal. Like everything's just covered in like cheese and
yeah.
beans
yeah.
and meat, and so it's just kind of like a big fat fest, which is what I was looking for. I remember when I ordered it, I was like, I just want really, really unhealthy Mexican food tonight,
uh-huh.
And just chow down. And so that's what I did, and so it was perfect for that. I've never tried to like have a light lunch there or anything like that, but if you want to get fat and just do have like a big old cheap meal and just cover everything in
yeah.
cheese sauce.
I know. I got the chimichanga because, like we said, the world needs more deep fried burritos, and
yeah.
It was just okay.
Okay,
just okay.
All right.
So come at me if you're a big Salty Iguana guy.
Yeah.
/ KU guy. Bring it on, Bill Self.
Yeah. If you're just a KU fan, are you therefore a Salty Iguana fan?
Mm-hmm.
So this week, I'm making it official. I am I'm finding the best gyro in Kansas City.
Okay.
So a week ago, I didn't even know how to pronounce it. And now I'm like legitimately obsessed with them. So this happened the first time I had ramen, like the first time I ever had ramen, good ramen, obviously, like that, not college top ramen. But the first time I had ever had ramen, I was blown away and I became obsessed with it. And I was just like, I'm going to eat at every ramen spot I can find. And so that's what I did. There's not very many ramen spots out there, but there's a lot of gyro places to try. So gyro. So I'm getting, I'm working on the pronunciation
as well.
You're
getting it.
It's like gyro. So this week I tried Haha's. Haha's, we talked about this. It just opened.
They opened a pizza spot. Or it was a...
No, it's a pizza spot.
Okay.
Haha's Pizza Hub has been there for a long time on 39th and Main, I think. Just down the street on 39th Street, closer to Broadway. So in between Main and Broadway, but closer to Broadway, is Haha's Euros and Kebabs, or Shawarma and Kebabs. Shawarma. So I had the Euro because I'm trying to keep it... Folks...
Legit?
It's legit.
Okay.
I think it jumped to the top of the list. So,
wow.
So jumped to the top of the list of places that I've tried.
Papu's was your...
Papu's was my number one. So now I'm going Haha's number one, Papu's number two. We had a food truck brought to our office for like an employee appreciation type of a deal. That was called the Mad Greek. That was very good. That's my number three. Then I have Jerusalem Cafe, number four, and Mr. Euros, number five. So those are my current top five of places that I've tried, but I'm making it official because right now I'm addicted and I'm obsessed. And so I have on my list Aladdin Cafe, Euro Express, the Shawarma by the Costco in Midtown.
Oh, okay. I haven't been there yet.
There's a Tikka House, Tasso's, Xenia, which is the one we just talked about in Crown Center. Max's Euros and Burgers on Warnell.
Oh, yeah.
There's a place called Never on Sunday, which is a Greek spot that's never open on Sundays. Queen Suites, KC Euro Guys, which I think is a food truck out in Martin, or yeah, like South KC, Sinbad's, and Holy Land Cafe. Those are the places that I've seen that I want to try. So if I'm missing anything there, let me know and I will add it to my list of places to try. But I am currently addicted to Euros. I don't know why. But they're just so good.
They are
so good.
I love
pita bread and the lamb meat and the flavoring, the seasoning. I love tzatziki sauce. I just love it all.
Yeah, so, and again, I think it's something where you trick yourself into thinking you're eating a healthy meal.
Well, not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah,
because... Still kind of. You don't feel as bad because they're not as greasy as like a burger.
They're not as greasy as a burger, but...
A little leaner meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, lamb. It's leaner than like some 85-15
some
beef.
Some beef. And
yeah, some do.
Like Haha's is beef and lamb.
Okay.
Both in
I like
there.
That.
So Haha's was the one I tried this week. It jumped immediately to the top of the list. It is so freaking delicious. And they're all like big. So, you know, sometimes like a smash burger won't fill you up maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Euros always fill you up. So that's my current list.
It's that good
Let me know
bread.
If you have any issue with that. But... I was really impressed with Haas, and I was like, you know, I thought Papu's did change my life, and it incentivized me to do this. But Haas was awesome. So that's what I'm going to be doing for the next, I don't know, few months.
Yeah, just a different spot every week, and then we'll get the official rankings out.
Yeah,
but it's a good early top five that you've compiled. All right, next up, it's time to get a little Midwest mad, if you will. Not at Kansas, but at Missouri, because Kansas is expected to sign a bill legalizing sports betting, and it's gotten held up in Missouri, hasn't it?
It did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read. I think it happened this weekend, or maybe on Thursday or
on
Friday.
On Thursday,
while we were on the golf course. No, driving. We were driving down to Memphis, but it looks like Missouri's sports gambling law got held up in the House or something like that, so it is not getting passed. Kansas's did get passed, and obviously Kansas is setting aside some of the revenue from that to try to a fund that its main goal is to attract professional sports teams. That doesn't mean the Phoenix Coyotes. That means the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals.
It could mean
trying to get them to come over to the Kansas side of the state line. If the Chiefs move to Wyandotte or Johnson County, it will be a very sad day. So I don't want to revisit that because we've already said everything we need to do. But Missouri, you can't lose border wars like this. Like not being able, all people are going to do is just stand in state line, make legal sports bets, and all of the tax revenue is going to go to that state and not yours. You're not creating anything of the greater good. You're not helping anyone by holding this up.
And it'll be on both sides of the state. Illinois has it legally.
So your two biggest cities.
Tennessee, Arkansas.
Exactly.
All right there.
Yeah. So Missouri, you're a Iowa. Land of nothingness. So I hope you're happy because one person held this up and yeah, it's just, I mean, that's how, you know, laws get made in this country, and that's a good thing, but it's not a good look. And especially when in the, like main articles that are being written about this, when you have Kansas versus Missouri, and one state does one thing and the other state goes the other way. And then you get to write about how they're going to use that money to attract, professional sports teams because it's a sports gambling law. That makes sense. Yeah, it's annoying. So anyways, that is my rant.
All right. My rant on sports betting right now is currently, this is, I probably missed this in my old man takes, but I don't think you should be able to give away as much money as they do for people to start gambling.
That's fair.
I think that's very dicey. And like the commercials that are like, your first $1,000 bet is risk-free. It's like, this just seems,
I think,
like
they're usually, it like match up to a certain this is, amount.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems like very much like, here's cigarettes for free on your 18th birthday type of sleazy stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not okay. Like I'll go place a bet.
What if on your 21st birthday, Busch Beer was like, bring your ID to a liquor store and we'll pay for your first case of Busch Beer.
Yeah, it's a little dicey.
I don't know.
I think it's a little dicey.
You would probably support the heck out of that.
I probably would. But I just think that it just feels sleazy. Like, I don't mind placing a bet. Like, when we were in Tennessee, downloaded an app.
I didn't lose a bet.
Placed some bets. I didn't win any bets. I bet Royals money line each time. And, well, we know how that went. But that's where the good, smart money was, you know?
Everyone was saying that.
That's what people were saying. But I don't sign up for the promos. It feels sleazy.
Yeah.
It feels sleazy.
Well, the Missouri like needs it. To figure it out and get it.
All right. Let's
see. 'Cause it is fun. Like, when we're on the bachelor party, like, we had a bunch of guys download the app and we got to bet together. And like, none of us were really paying attention to sports that, like, this past weekend, but it was kind of fun to bet together and bet on the Grizz,
clinch the series. We waited a whole life for that series win. All right.
We were heavy Grizz fans this
weekend. Probably the biggest Grizz fans
and Jaw fans
in the state. All right, let's see. Next up, we've got our mixed plate, Mother's Day on Sunday.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom. So we've done this for Father's Day, I think, last year. We did the mixed plate of dad moves.
Total dad moves,
dad moves.
Or just dad moves in general, yeah.
But here, Mother's Day this weekend, we're going to talk total mom moves.
Mm-hmm.
Just some really good mom moves that we can celebrate.
Yes.
It's Mother's Day.
Absolutely. And poke fun at moms a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. All right. So we got episode 157 here.
Oh, nice.
That means you get to kick us off.
All right. My meet number one here for mom moves. Kind of only thing, like, moms are amazing at this. At feeling your head and telling you if you have a fever or not.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know when moms all learned this, but no one, like, moms could probably get it to a tenth of a degree if they were to guess your fever. So every mom has that ability. They just put their hand on your forehead and they can tell immediately if you have a fever or not. I'm a dad. I haven't received that skill yet. And so I think it's a mom-only skill, and they're amazing at it. So that's my meet number one.
I don't know why people didn't think of that when COVID starting. We were checking everybody's temperature. You could have just had a mom at the
door. Just had a mom at the door of your business and say, boom, no.
Good or nope.
They know exactly what your temperature
exactly.
is.
Exactly. All right. This is actually kind of related a little bit. Because I don't know where these moms get the superpower in their hands, but they can handle extremely hot plates.
Oh, yeah.
Very hot plates. I've seen my mom take pizza pans out of the oven barehanded. It's incredible.
She also has restaurant hands, which is a little different.
But I think there's something to a mom being able to just handle hot. Like if you've ever picked up something after your mom that was really hot and you like drop it because you're going to burn yourself, and your mom did not complain about it at all, probably, because they got mom hands.
Yep, no doubt.
And it must be the fevers and picking up hot
stuff.
But
they're the opposite. Like they can turn on and off how
superpower.
Yeah, how much their fingers feel. All right, side number two here for me. Meat number two. Texting you, call me please. And that's it. So you have no context. It's just out of the blue. Call me please. And again, she could be needing to know like what size shoes you wear because she's going to buy you a present, or like your whole family could be dead. Like you don't know what that text means when it just says call me please. So that's what moms, cause they're just simple. They just want to simply communicate, hey, I just need you to call me. But because like our generation, we grew up in with texting and AIM where we know we have to communicate tone and feeling over text with like emojis and buffer words. Moms just say, call me please. And you have no clue what to expect, but you got to call.
That's a good one. All right. My side number two here, I'm going to go with, hating video games.
Mm-hmm.
Hating video games. I don't know any moms that like video games.
Not a single mom has ever liked a video game.
They limit the time that you can play video games.
100%.
Whenever you're playing video games, they think whatever the game is stupid.
Yeah, very stupid.
No doubt.
Why would you play this?
They want you to stop and go do something else, anything else that could be more productive. And like whatever video game system you owned first, that's the only one they bothered to learn the name of.
Absolutely.
Like our Xbox One was a Nintendo to our mom because she knew Nintendo and that was it.
So
whatever your first system was, that's what every other system is.
Yeah, quit playing the Nintendo. It's like, mom, this is an Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Like get with the times.
Yeah. I got a terabyte of data on this thing. It's not.
I got the red ring of death, mom. Don't talk to me about no Nintendo.
So video games, just mom's.
And then like how much money you spend on it, because like she would never let you give her money to spend. So you had to save all your money to go buy video games and upgrade controllers and all that stuff.
Moms just have to hate buying video games as presents too.
Yeah.
Oh man, that has to drive them wild.
So my meat number two, side number one here, I'm going with not knowing how to work the TV remote or surround sound in the house. So I think, again, this is one of those just inherent mom things that as soon as you become a mom, you just forget how to work the TV remote, how to set up the surround sound. Like if you were to ask mom like to turn on music outside, not a chance. She wouldn't even try. She wouldn't know where to start, or like turn on the TV, like no clue. So especially if you have a TV, their TVs have gotten way better where you don't need to have a bunch of different remotes for the sound system. You know, most of the time the remote for your TV turns on the sound bar and all that stuff. But back in the day when there was like three remotes to turn on the TV, it was, it wasn't going to happen. So, I mean, we've heard stories where my mom just didn't watch TV for an entire weekend because like dad was out of town. And so that was just how it went.
That's a good one. Also, there's a really good Modern Family episode about learning the TV remote. It's a classic.
Nice.
All right.
We're basically writing like Modern Family bits.
Side number one here. I'm going with finding anything that you're looking for. Somehow your mom always knows where it is. And I don't know how, as a 31-year-old now living with my mom again, if I can't find my keys, I ask her where my keys are.
Where are my keys?
And she knows where they are.
Of course.
Mom, where's my wallet? She still knows where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever lost anything inside your house, what you did all the time when you were a kid, the mom always knew where it was.
Exactly.
Some kind of supreme knowledge. I don't know if they're... they've got these brains that can just scan the whole entire house just by closing their eyes or something. Maybe. And they just find everything for
exactly.
you. Exactly. Anything was lost, moms are elite finders.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they got to have some sort of like Terminator ability to just track all the items in the house. All right, side number two for me to wrap things up. I'm going with loving you the most. no one loves you like a mom, and it is just like the best feeling in the world. Like this morning, I took James over there to, you know, to because my mom watches James on Mondays, and so I was just over there, and you know, she's just asking me how my weekend was, and I felt like booty because it's Monday after a bachelor party, but it still just felt good being there and having her say like, well, it sounds like you had fun. And it's like, yeah, we did. We had an awesome time, mom. Thank you for just loving me the most right now. And that's just what I needed this morning.
She asked me if I thought I got alcohol poisoning this weekend. We had different mornings with her, I guess. She goes, you think you ever have gotten it? I go, no.
Definitely not. Not even the time I Cinco de Mayo'd over a bike ramp.
Yeah, not even then. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go with taking pictures on their own phones. Like, moms want to always get their own picture on own phone.
Yep.
So, like, if there's maybe a group photo going, the mom is always like, well, here, be sure to take one with my phone, too. They need their phone to have the picture on it. Even you could tell them, hey, actually, we can just text out the picture or I'll upload it to a shared album and I'll send it out to you that way. Nope. They got to have it taken with their phone, which is probably 3 years out of date, maybe. But moms are always like, here, I need you to take it with my phone or else I'm never going to get it.
So, exactly.
That's a big one. That's a total mom move.
What else did you leave off?
Movie stars' names wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just never able to quite get them right. Close. But never quite able to get them right. Telling you stories about people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what? Who is this? What's going on? No, I don't really remember that person. I think that was all of them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have, I left off saying we have food at home and not letting you go get fast food.
Yeah.
When you want to. Reminding you that she's not the maid. And to pick up after yourself. That's all. That was always the one we got growing up.
Yep.
I have making you chicken noodle soup and getting you Sprite when you're sick. Having a specific dance move that only your mom does. So we do a contest in our family, like weddings and gatherings. It's called the Dance Like Your Mom contest because all of us cousins can replicate exactly the dance moves that our moms do because they all have very specific mom dance moves.
They're
all different.
But each mom has their
moves. Mom has their own move. I have being impossible to buy gifts for because they just like love everything. We can't get it wrong. Our dad can get it wrong.
Yes.
Quite a bit when buying gifts, but we can't. And then I have using the wrong emoji. They haven't quite gotten there on the emojis. They're getting close, but they're always just a little bit off on what emoji they go with. So that's, but you know, it's very endearing. It's very, love it anyways.
Yeah. All right. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to Jean, my mother, future mother-in-law as well.
Were any of these on your list, specific to Jean, or
she'll have to
guess.
She'll have to be the judge. No, definitely the taking photos with their own phone.
Okay.
Whenever a photo is taken, I have to also take it with her phone.
Okay.
Or else she thinks she can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that one was for her for sure. All right. So that'll do it for us this week. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine, and we'll see you around Kansas City.